Numbers 21, we see how the children of Israel were complaining and how they, in essence, they were speaking against God and against Moses, and they, in their despising of God's way, we found out they were in favor of their own way, but they falsified God's way. They said there was no life, there was no loaves, there was no liquid in this land that God had brought them to. And all three of those was lies. There was nothing but death back in Egypt. And they're headed to Canaan. They're headed to the promised land. And they said that there was no loaves and God was raining down manna in the morning. All they had to do was go out there and pick it up. They complained about that and he sent them quail till it ran out of their nostrils. Then they said, oh, there's no water. And multiple times we know how God provided water. And we were kind of looking at the character of sin. Tonight I want to look at the curse of sin. And I had a little bit of difficulty kind of keeping these two messages separated. This morning we were talking about the curse one thing and another. We want to look Numbers 21, and particularly going to look at verse number 6. But verse number 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And he says, for there is no bread, neither there is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now, again, I think it would be good for us to get a little bit of background, and I'm not going to revisit Genesis because we did it this morning. But there you have a real good background of the curse and what is involved. And there's much more than what, because there's, all this is interacting. And we find that in verse number 6 that God, because of their lying and their murmuring and their complaining and speaking against God and against God's man, God sent judgment. We cannot expect anything more or anything less than the judgment of God when we go against His Word, we go against His ways, we turn our back against Him. He is going to bring judgment, even in the lives of His people. Israel is a type. There's a lot of typology. You don't want to go overboard with it, but you can see as they were redeemed out of Egypt by blood, that blood was shed, that lamb, and the blood put on the doorpost. And the Bible says that the death angel came through, and when he saw the blood, he passed over that house, went to the next house, and firstborn of every home that did not have the blood applied. Isn't that a wonderful picture? The blood of Christ been applied, and death had to leave. There's a lot of applications that you can make there. But this action of the serpents upon the people show the curse which sin brings upon mankind. I went to the internet. I went to medicinenet.com because I wanted to know a little bit. I wanted to show you some pictures. I showed them to my wife. Very graphic pictures of the results of snake bites. Does anybody know anybody that's been bit by a snake? You probably. When I was in Scouts, I was 13, 14 years old. We were in the Shining Rock Wilderness in western North Carolina. And we hiked back in about 6 miles on a road. And Shining Rock, have you ever been to Shining Rock up in western North Carolina? It's a great big white rock on the side of a mountain, and at night it just kind of glows because of the, I don't know what the kind of material it is, but they call it Shining Rock for that purpose. And this was my very first Boy Scout overnight multiple day camping trip. And I've got my backpack. I learned a valuable lesson, the value of a backpack with a frame after a 6-mile hike. And I learned nowadays you got all the freeze-dried stuff. Back then you had cans of pork and beans. You know, those cans get heavy after a while. But we were on a camping trip, and blueberries are everywhere up there. Big open area on the top of the mountain. And my scout leader is picking blueberries one morning to put in his blueberry, or to make some blueberry pancakes. And he reached his hand into the bush, and something pricked him. And he didn't pay any much attention, went back in there. And next time he brought it out, a little copperhead about so long was hanging on his hand. And very, very small copperhead for copperheads, but all you could see was just two little indentions. Back then, they told us that the procedures, all Boy Scouts carried a little first aid kit. You probably saw them in a little capsule, and you would break them open. It had a little razor blade in there. You had a little tourniquet, and you could tie it off, and then you were to take and cut an X on the wound. And then either with the suction cup, if it would fit over the wound in that certain, you'd mash it and pull some of the poison out with, you know, the blood. Or you could just, you know, use your hand. But if you've got a cavity or something, you're just taking the venom into your own system. My very first experience, it was 9 of us on that trip. And we ministered first aid, broke out our books, our first aid book, and started watching for symptoms, because and sure enough, it didn't take long. He began to show the symptoms, and we had to make a gurney. And 9 boys, 13 to 14, carried our scout leader out, and we could just go maybe 100 yards, you know, carrying him, and then we'd have to switch out back down before cell phones and all of that, and get back down to the vehicle. Now, we're all 13, 14. He's the only adult. And I was wondering who's going to drive. But when we got there, thankfully, we ran into a park ranger, and they were able to get him. Very, very scary experience. But I was looking on the internet, the medicine.net or medicinenet.com, and is talking about the venomous, poisonous snake bites and the different kinds. And it just said this. Okay. A venomous snake bite is a bite that punctures or a punctured wound made by a snake that is capable of injecting, secreting, or spit in a toxin into the potential or the penetrated skin wound or mucous membranes or in the eyes. In North America, here's this. In North America, there are about 25 species of snakes available to secrete toxin. However, non-native poisonous species are present in zoos and held in private homes. Who would want a snake for a pet? Huh? Yeah. They're just so cuddly, aren't they? Yeah, I know. In private homes or other areas by snake collectors. Consequently, almost any type of venomous snake bite can be encountered in the United States. About 7,000 snake bites are reported in the U.S. per year, but because snake bites are not required to be reported, it is estimated that up to 45,000 bites per year may occur, with about 8,000 by poisonous snakes. The most common venomous snakes in the U.S. are rattlesnakes, copperheads, cottonmouth, or water moccasins, and then the coral snake. And like I said this morning, the only good snake to me is a dead snake. But there's quite a few people that are being bit. Now, we have a congregation of about 3 million people here, Moses has, and God has sent not a snake, but has sent serpents, fiery serpents, poisonous snakes, into the camp, and people are being bit. I want us to think about three aspects of this curse of sin, or this illustration of the curse of sin in the work of the snakes. Things that sin does. First of all, sin brings discomfort. Sin brings discomfort. Verse number 6 tells us that the snakes bit the people. Bit the people. There is nothing pleasant about being bitten. I don't care. There's some people in North Carolina and West Virginia, Kentucky, up in those Appalachian Mountains, they practice snake handling. You even got some of them down in Georgia. Some snake handlers. You know one. Yeah. They call themselves full of faith. I call them full of something else. My wife and I were, I was preaching way back up in the mountains of Tennessee. It was a paved road, went to a single lane gravel road, and then to a pig trail. And the man, the pastor, a godly man, this is my misconception, you know, before you, things you think about while you're, Ryan, you know, you, these things that just come in your mind when, you know, but anyway, he walked over to this box in the church and began to open it, and I told Arlene, oh no, let's look for the back door, if this is what I think it is. And so he reached down, he opened the box, he reached down, when he came up, he had Gideon Bibles. They were what we call the pew Bibles, and he was passing them out to the people, about 25 or 30 people. Old log church, still had gas lights. They didn't have electricity back there. You had to go outside to the bathroom, the outside toilet. In fact, this was so rustic, I made another trip and took my grandmother back in there to see it again, because it took her back to her days. But there are those that will handle snakes, and they try to prove their faith. It proves nothing but ignorance to me. But there's nothing about a snake bite that is pleasant. A snake bite brings a sharp sting and pain. This illustrates the pain of sin. Here's some of the symptoms of a snake bite. There are these different toxins that go into the body, the cardiotoxins, which acts on the heart tissue. The heart, your muscle, the neurotoxins, the nervous system, the hemotoxin. It starts coagulating the blood and making it thick, impossible to go through. Am I right, you pharmacists? All right, and then help me with this other one: CYTO, cytotoxin. It has to do with the tissue of the side of the bite and the breaking down and of the tissue around that. Sin is advertised as pleasure. I tried to download some YouTube beer commercials. And this is the right, because of the way they advertise it. It's always a party. It's always nice, and they're, you know, pretty girls and hunky guys, and they're out there, but they don't show you, and in their trucks and all that stuff, they don't show you the other side. They don't show you the man laying in the gutter, the father laying in the gutter in his own filth, and his wife and children back home, not knowing where their daddy is. They don't show you the unwanted pregnancy because of the alcohol that was consumed at a party one night, and they got crazy and did something, and then 9 months later, they've got more problem. Sin is never advertised correctly. And so sin is advertised as pleasure, but the pleasure of sin is very short. It's very short. After that, pain sets in. And it is not too short. There's long effects, lifetime effects, along with sin. That's just with alcohol. Then there's all the other illicit sex and one thing or another. They don't show you the other side. Satan never did show Eve in the garden the other side of what would happen. If she had, because of this sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, as recorded in chapter 3 of Genesis, this introduced pain into humanity. Right away, pain began. Sorrow in childbirth and labor and sweat and tilling the ground and thorns and thistles, and then their own child died at the hand of another child. Murder. Sin never shows you that. Never advertises that. Paul, he spoke of this problem when he said in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 22, he said, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Right now, this world, creation itself, and everything about it is groaning and in travail because of sin. Sin. And all of this groaning and travail and pain is because of sin. Those who live in sin are not comfortable. They may say they are. They may say they're having a good time. They talk about the great time, but you start examining their life and they are messed up, they are tore up, and most of the time between Monday and Friday, they are, and then they start getting happy on because another party's coming up, another weekend is coming up. That's all they live for. They don't tell you the discomfort they're in. They are really miserable. I don't know how some of our folks in our community here live with the police knocking on their door every day almost, looking for somebody and doing something, and people going in and out, and I hear it at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Josh woke up with blue lights flashing out here. He thought, wow. He said, we did move to the ghetto. But it was me. I got pulled over. Right there. Different case, but it happens. I don't know. We've been, when I was working with the delivering pizzas, I went in some homes, and I thought, oh, Lord, how could you live in this? You know, there are more beer bottles around. Fred, you was describing your trapper cabin. That's what a lot of them live in. You just have to kick your way through the filth and babies crawling around in it and stuff, and yet they're fussing and cussing and fighting, and just, and I'm there's only that, we're only there just a few seconds to drop it off. I wouldn't live in some of that, would you? No, but that's what sin does. I believe we need to get honest and tell our young people that the true reality of sin. They're miserable. Listen to the talk of the wicked world, and you hear pain. You hear pain. So sin brings discomfort. Number two, sin brings defilement. Sin brings defilement. Verse number 6 of Numbers 21, it says, much people of Israel died. We don't have a count here, but they were dropping like flies. Much people, because of the judgment, because of their sin, God sent these fiery serpents into them, and they began to bite the people. And that's a very excruciating, slow, sometimes slow death. Unless you've got a very venomous snake, and it's quick. My luck is I'd be the third or fourth person bit by that snake, and its venom would lost. You know, it takes a while to regenerate, and I'd die real slow. But I mean, it defiles. Much people of Israel died. Why did they die? Because these snakes were poisonous snakes. When they bit you, they sent this venom, as these toxins I was talking about, through the body. These toxins get into the bloodstream. And they start affecting some of the symptoms, of a snake bite is a pair of puncture wounds, and then the redness and the swelling around the bite, severe pain at the site of the bite, nausea and vomiting. I don't know about you, I don't like that. Just I'll do anything to keep from throwing up, you know. And somebody do it. I don't even have to be sick. I have these sympathy pains, you know. I'll never forget. I was out on the Ken Owens took me out in his little 20-foot boat. We was out at Granite Point, me and John Bolin, and we had some high swells out there. And I was sitting in the back of the boat, rigging up, and boy, just looking at the bottom of that boat and smelling the gas fumes and all that stuff. And I have to look up, whew, and then get back down. You know, Fred, if you get sick, the bathroom's right over there already. But John Bolin, he said, I don't ever get sick. I'm used to this. And it wasn't 5 seconds. I mean, 10. There was John hanging off the back. Oh! And I was on the other side joining him. I thought, let's just go ahead and chum it up. But, I mean, it was. I mean, the worst day of fishing. And first time I caught my first king salmon that day. And there I am holding it. I am so sick. That picture. But I mean, vomiting. Nausea and vomiting, labor breathing. In extreme cases, breathing may even stop altogether. Disturbed vision, blurry vision, double vision, increased salivation and sweating, numbness and tingling around the face and the limbs. And it's sometimes a slow process. I mean, can you imagine? This is what sin does. It defiles the system. Defiles your body. In like manner, sin poisons and corrupts and pollutes and defiles. Filthy minds. Filthy mouths. Morals. Filthy morals. Filthy manners. All of this is the result of sin. They are abundant in our society. Because sin has defiled mankind. This is the pollution that we need to be concerned about. Me and Andrew was flying back home, and we didn't realize at the time, we had not heard the news report, but we were flying over Colorado. And we looked out. Andrew said, "Lad, look out the window," and you heard about the mining operation that they had a breach in their wastewater, and it spilled over into the all, and it turned yellow as yellow as your sweater. And from the air, Andrew said, "Look," and here you can see the river, and there was a line. All this side was yellow, and this side was. He said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, it must be some kind of mud or something in there." And when we got in Seattle, we got the news and heard about this. And we saw it from the air. And people talking about and concerned about all this pollution, these toxins and chemicals and everything. This is the, you know, this is the pollution that the world is concerned about. It doesn't matter about the defilement of the human heart. And if the ecology people got as excited about the character pollution as they do about water pollution and air pollution and land pollution, we'd be better off. But they just don't care about that. They don't care about the morals. Sin defiles. It brings discomfort. It brings defilement. Number three, sin brings death. Verse number six in Numbers 21 says, "Much people died." Much people died. The abundance of death and dying people in Israel's camp from these snake bites illustrate one thing: the facts that sin brings death. Bible says over in Romans 6 and verse number 33 that the wages of sin is death. The devil never talks about the wages you get from sin. The wages of sin is death. Let me turn over to James real quick. James chapter 1, verse 13. Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin has brought two types of death to mankind. The first death is the separation of the body from the soul, physical death. God told Adam, "In the day that you eat, you shall surely die." Now we know that they did not die physically that very moment. But the Bible is very clear that, and we're evidence of it. We see, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That physical separation. Death is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. When I was online and I was helping my mother pick out her coffin, that's something fun to do with your parents. And she was just before she moved, she said, "I want to get everything arranged." She said, "Boy," she said, "son, I don't want you and Jerry to have to worry about a thing." And so we clicked up on the internet, Wells Funeral Home, and went to their site, and we looked at all the coffins. And they come in very expensive and very inexpensive. I'm going to go for the inexpensive. I don't want put me in a cardboard box. I don't care, you know. They did have a little pine box, and I thought, wow, that's pretty nice. I mean, that's not my home. They're going to put my body in there. I don't care. And some of the people that go overboard and they buy all with fine lace and all that. Well, Mom didn't want the very bottom, but she got the next one up. Yeah, it was, if you can call a coffin pretty, you know. But there we were talking about it and making those details because death was coming. Physical death. And it comes to everyone. It comes to the old and to the young. My father-in-law is in the funeral home business. He goes and picks up all kinds of bodies. Some big bodies, old bodies, some very small bodies. And they make coffins in all sizes. Death is no respecter. And sin has brought death, physical death. But the second death, which is the worst death of all, is the separation of soul from God in eternal hellfire. Some of the saddest words ever spoken whenever Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Depart eternally, lost, separated. Sin does not bring life, period. Those who think they are really living it up when they go on some sin trip will soon find out that sinning does not bring life, it only brings death. And only Christ can break the curse of sin. Christ is the only one. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Jesus hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus suffered our death. Jesus suffered our hell. Jesus suffered our curse. Now, if the Lord doesn't return, we're all going to go by the way of the grave. That's an appointment that, you know, barring the trump of God and catching us out here. And Fred said this morning in Sunday school, we believe some strange things. You know, it's strange to the world. But boy, I find my ear getting very keen. I hear a car horn blow and I think it might be the trumpet. I don't want to go by the way of the grave. I have not bought a cemetery plot. Here in the town of Craig, I understand if you're a resident here, they'll give you a plot. I ain't going to go out and, put me in an urn. Just don't spend the money on the urn. Just get a milk jug. We kept a man back here for about 6 months in the closet. They began to freak Arlene out. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Toss me out there. But one of these days, we're going to a land where there is no death. There is no sin. There is no defilement. There is no discomfort. I'm looking forward to that day because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin brings death. Sin brings defilement. Sin brings discomfort. The Bible says over in Numbers that these snakes come slithering into the camp, begin to bite people. Next week we'll look at what God's remedy for sin. As he told Moses, you take a pole, you put this bronze serpent on it, and you raise it up. And all the people have to do is look and live. Look and live. I don't know about you, but I have an imagination. I can imagine some old Israelite way off on the outskirts, because it was in the center of the camp, crawling over to the edge of the tent and raising the look. Crawling and then look. Immediately he's healed. Faith is all type of the Lord Jesus Christ. All he had to do is look and live. Look and live. We'll look at that next week.